I want to say thank you to Pastor Larry. Your words this morning, it's beautiful. And even though it's so hard for us as a church family,
going through this loss, you bring a reality. You don't provide simple answers, Larry. Yeah, please just, could you come and stand with us, Larry? Please just come and stand with us. We just draw support from you. Thank you for the brilliance of those words and the compassion. We so appreciate it. Yeah, this is a difficult day, but it's a triumphant day. And how do you reconcile the two? Caleb, my 18-year-old, just returned from Capenray after a year in Germany, and he asked last night, he said, "Dad, where is God in this? Where is God?" And I had to respond and say, "You know what, Caleb? You know, I don't know. There are no simple answers. There are no Bible verses that sum up the totality of what we're trying to make sense of. To give quick and easy answers simply trivializes the loss and the depth of our pain. And we have to wait for God to bring that that comfort, the healing, and the understanding. This is on God's shoulders. And He's got big shoulders. And He will carry us through it." So the comfort, the healing, and the understanding. You know, I was thinking about this, and even though there are no easy answers, there's one thing I know, and it's the character of God.
As I thought about Abraham, who was called by God to take his son Isaac and offer him on Mount Moriah, he thought, this is so out of God's nature, so out of God's character. But he says, I know the character of God. And Jehovah Jireh, He will provide. And God provided a ram in a thicket for the offering. I think about Job, who lost his 10 children, and it made no sense. And he was afflicted with disease, and he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And then I think about our theme verse that Larry just read, where Jesus, beside the tomb of a beloved brother and friend Lazarus, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And then he looked at Mary and he says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this this morning? The only way you can believe it is if you know the character of God. So though we have no answers, we know the character of God. And as Larry said, there's something insidious about mental illness, because whether it's Alzheimer's, whether it's psychosis or a deep, deep depression, it steals our loved ones away a day at a time. And there's nothing rational about mental illness. We lost Peter Hendricks to cancer. And even in that, we found a rationale and a sensibility, and the presence of God was so evident and so clear. Just in the last few weeks, we've lost our beloved friend and brother in Christ, Jim Donaldson. And what a marvelous celebration of his life, Julie. What a great testimony of a man of faith. And we found God in that time. And we experienced His comfort and His healing. And we understand. Kathy said to me the other day on the phone, she says, you know, the verse that has stood out to me that is carrying me through this time is, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Though we don't understand the dynamics of this kind of loss, there's no more difficult death to process than this kind of loss. We know the character of God, and we will cling to the character of God. We will celebrate the character of God. And I am so looking forward to my friend and mentor, Pastor Peter McRail. It's so lovely to have he and Isabel here this morning, because I know that he has a word from God that will speak directly to where each of us are at and the questions that we are struggling with. So this morning again, let's remember with joy and comfort the words that Pastor Larry has brought about our beloved brother and friend in the presence of the Lord. And let's remember Marie and Brian and Lindsay and Ashley and Richard, their children and their spouses. Let's remember Monty and Sylvia in our prayers and in our cards and our phone calls. Let's remember Kathy and Vern and their entire family, Naomi and Warren and Karen as they suffer through this, and Ruth, the entire family that's been devastated. And let's remember one another. If there's a time to gather, if there's a time to cluster, it is now. And the love of Christ will join our hearts. We will be fortified. We will be strengthened. And yes, our faith will be tested. And that's where we are. If you're struggling with this, that's not a bad thing. Someone once said, the unexamined faith is not worth possessing. We are being tested, but we will come forth as pure gold, refined by His fire, strong in His love. We will have an enlarged faith, an increased love, and a hope that's steadfast. That's what God is going to do, and we will come forth stronger than ever before. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Christ is victor, and we celebrate His resurrection power. You're going to pray. Yes. Okay, let's pray together. Thank you. Father, we commit our dear brother and friend Ken into your care and keeping in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, for Marie, that she would find comfort and healing and understanding in the months ahead. And we bring Julie at the same time. There's nothing more painful in life than the loss of a spouse. We just bring these precious people and so many others who are hurting and alone, who are struggling with heartache and anxiety and mental depression and addictions, Lord, here in our fellowship. Gender struggles, questions of faith. We are a collection of strugglers, and we are the recipients of your grace. Lord, teach us how to be vulnerable, how to remove the mask, how to be real. As the scripture says, if we confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, we shall be healed. We need to believe in the healing power that comes through fellowship, through vulnerability, through honest expression. People saying real things about real issues with real feelings. Lord, help us to become the company of the redeemed. Lord, help our emotional IQ to match our spiritual IQ. Help us to grow in all the ways, as Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies, your entire being, not just your Sunday tithe, your spiritual knowledge, but your pain, your suffering, your loneliness, to present our entire selves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable form of spiritual worship. Lord, you've called us to be worshipers. You're seeking true worshipers. Teach us how we can worship in the midst of the valley, as the psalmist in Psalm 23 said, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me, and your rod and your staff comforts me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Lord, we just thank you that you walk with us through this valley. And even though we don't understand all the parameters, we know that your character is steadfast. And as the prophet said, great is your faithfulness. Your compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We rejoice in you. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. Bind up the wounds of the troubled and hurting, and support us as we move forward in your love, in your grace, and in your power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Travis, and thank you, Dixie. We love you, and we so appreciate you coming this morning. Just remain seated as our worship team leads us in a wonderful song of worship.
Ooh.
this is just an opportunity for us to close our eyes and reflect. And I'm going to sing a prayer that I want each of you to sing. But right now, I just think we need to reflect, close our eyes, and put our heads down and just be in our secret place.
In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
So much, Troy. I appreciate that. And Larry, thank you so much for the kind words you said about Ken. And Travis and Dixie, it's great seeing you here today. And Peter, thanks for stepping in. And for so many people that called and talked and had conversations with me and so many other people about the challenges of life, about how life has come to us. And the things that we just don't have answers for. And we search and we look. And like I shared in my sermon last week, one of the things I do to find peace is I head to the movies. So this week I went to two movies at Silver City. I can only imagine. And then I went to God Is Not Dead, A Light in the Darkness. And those two movies helped me put into perspective the challenges that God gives us. The things that we don't have a full understanding of, but we're looking for. Bart Millard in his challenge with his father and putting that into perspective, a true-to-life story. But it turned out great. And the story about an Arkansas pastor who lost not only his church, lost his good pastor friend, and the challenges he saw in his own life, and how he had to work through them. You know, folks, that reminded me, when that church burnt down, you know, it reminded me of the time that we were building our house, and Corey and I had gone to bed at 11 o'clock, and we got a phone call from the contractor. And we had four phones in the house, two landlines, two cell phones. And each one was going off sequentially at 11 o'clock. And he kept going. And I said, Corey, I think someone is trying to get hold of us. So when I finally picked up the sixth call, it was our pastor, who was also our builder, Daryl Heppner. And he said, Bill, your house is on fire. It has burned. We need you to come right now. So we went and had a look at the mess. And got home that night about 2 o'clock and went to bed. And I woke up to go to work the next morning at 8. And I thought, oh, what a dream that was. Oh, it's not a dream, it's reality. The disaster that's happened in front of us, what do we do? And I knew what was key and paramount I needed to say to my wife. So as she's just sort of semi-coming, just, you know, semi-waking up, I said, Corey, I know there's something I need to say to you right now. And I said three words. Today we rebuild. And because she didn't fully hear it, she said, remember to flush the toilet. I said, again, today we rebuild. Oh, yes, you're right. God is good. And you know, that reminded me of the challenges of where we are right now. And it took me back to the four movie clips I showed you last week. You remember I led off with Apollo 13? And it was at that time in the movie where Gene Kranz, the head of NASA, the flight control director, he has to deal with everything in front of him, and he's putting his shirt together, and he has worked this crew, he's worked all the problems for the last 2.5 days down to the point where he is ready to accept them. He's ready. And then two NASA directors, Henry and John, are talking, and they're saying, hey, look, this could be our worst disaster. The heat shields, the parachutes, the ice block, hey, I know. And what does Gene Kranz say? I beg your pardon, gentlemen. With all due respect, I believe this is going to be NASA's finest hour. Folks, for us, this could be Peninsula Mission Community Church's finest hour. It really could. We're the light of the world. You know, the next movie I showed, it wasn't the next movie, is Corey and I were watching another movie called Barabbas last night, and it starred Anthony Quinn and Jack Palance. And there was Jack Palance in the 1960s. He was a bad guy, Roman soldier. And in the movie, he's such a rotten guy. But then jettison it 35 years later, and here he is on City Slickers. And in the key part of the movie, Jack Palance is trying to help Billy Crystal through the challenges of his life. He's upset. His marriage is potentially on the rocks. He doesn't know what to do. And Pal says, do you know what the secret to life is? His name's Curly in the movie. The secret to life is one thing. And Billy Crystal says, I don't understand. Is it your index finger? He says, no. It's one thing. That's the secret to life. And he says, what is the secret to life? He says, that's what you've got to find out. And for us all here today, our secret to life is Jesus. And Jesus is here. He's helping and guiding us. He's taking us to those places of the pain that we have to work through. And that's where Jesus is, guiding us and helping us all the way through. Yeah, the one thing. You know, in the movie Clear and Present Danger, with James Earl Jones as God, and Harrison Ford and Jack Ryan, these two national security advisors are sitting here looking at papers. And James Earl Jones is about to die of cancer. He's suffering. And he's seeing how he's being lied to by everyone in the National Security Council. And he says that the key part of the movie, he says, Jack, you gave your word to the people of the United States of America. You gave your word. And your word is who you are. Folks, our words at this point in time and our relationship here in our church are key and foundational. And it's going back to Jesus seeing those kind words that he said and led us and helped us and guided us. It's drawing back to his words. He's our strength. He's our rock. Our word is who we are. And you know, in the very last movie clip I showed was good old Glenn Holland in Mr. Holland's Opus. And Glenn had this tumultuous relationship with Helen Jacobs, who was the principal of John F. Kennedy High School in the Midwest. And Helen Jacobs had that way of getting into his face. And in this key part where she really wanted to get Glenn to understand about how to guide young people, she says to him, not only do you need to put wisdom, insight, and help into these young people's minds, you need to be a compass. And right now, Mr. Holland, your compass is stuck. And for Glenn Holland, it was something he would carry with him for the rest of his life because he knew he needed to be a compass. Folks, this is a great opportunity for us to be a compass to ourselves, to our family members, to other people here. And in the key part of the second clip of the movie, we jettison 25 years later to the point that Helen Jacobs is retiring. And she has something for Glenn Holland. And in that key part, she says, I need you to know something about what I've seen in you over the last 25 years, how you have changed, how Jesus has changed his life. And what she was guiding him was helping him with what she sees, what she recognized. It was like she was Jesus sharing to him about life and what was the right things about life. And here she was, giving Glenn Holland a compass. For all of us here, folks, we can be a compass if we look towards that. A compass to Jesus that will guide us and take us there. I want to end this one statement. James Dobson is the head curator, focused on the family. He's not there anymore, but the largest parachurch organization in Canada, in the United States. And in a key part, when he had to address his children when they became of age, he said, look, I'm 40 years older than you. There's a good chance I'm going to pass from here into heaven before you. And then when that happens, I have something for you to help you, to direct you, to give you that compass. Two words, be there. Be there on the other side. Be there, I will be waiting for you. Be there, I will be watching for you. I'll have my arms open. And for all of us here, folks, be there. Be there on the other side. For Ken will be waiting for us. Amen. Okay. We're going to do an offering now. We'll get Roy to come forward and... Thank you very much. Father, thank you for this day. that we can come and thank you. We're so appreciative of what you've provided for us. We're thankful for the resources you've given us. May we remember this day that offering isn't about money. It's about who we are. It's about our word. It's about what we offer back to society. Will we be there? Can we be a compass in someone's life? Our word is who we are. There's one thing in life, the secret in life, get that one right. Father, thank you for what you've given us. Thank you for this day. As we remember your Son has risen. Amen. What we'll do is we're going to run a few announcements just as we... So Marlene will show those slides here. We have a few announcements to let you know while we're accepting the offering. Okay. One of the other things, yeah, one sweet hour prayer that's going to resume in our fall time here. Okay. Read through the Bible with Gary and Marlene. That takes place Thursday, April 5th at 7 o'clock. Men's breakfast. Jim is holding that April 14th. We're a couple of weeks away from that. 21st, all right, thank you for the change. So it's now 3 weeks away, April 21st. And that'll be back at Sanderson Bible Fellowship. Island Women's Day, that's going to take place Saturday, April 28th. And we've got some, I think we have some tickets. Someone maybe has some tickets left over. But see me if you'd like to go to that, okay? All right. And also want to let you know the Mountaineers Lunch is coming up April 10th. We're a week and a half away from that. It's at 12 o'clock here. The guest speaker is Jackie Goodwin, who's the Director of Neighborhood Emergency Preparedness Program. Tickets $5, and Annabelle will help you with that. Okay? Peter McRail is going to give the message. Folks, we have coffee and food afterwards. And we want to celebrate Larry and Barb's anniversary. So it kind of got lost in a lot of things here. So we want to say, come... hang out with us afterwards for Easter Sunday. We have cake, we have fellowship, and we have you. Two words, be there.
Will I be able to speak it all?
can only imagine. I can only imagine.